Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, March 26, 2021, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 47, the first full paragraph on the page. Today's readers are Christina J. on the 12 Steps, Joanne L. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Julie E.B. and Sherry K.B. Our share IDs for the prior two meetings, yesterday, Thursday, March 25th at 10 a.m., the share ID is 16,649 or 16649. And this morning's meeting, 3:26 at 7 a.m., the reference number is 16,654 or 16654. And thanks to Betsy H. for being our newcomer greeter, and reading announcements will be Shelley E. And thank you, Nadia B., for monitoring the meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take a position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Christina J. to read the 12 steps. Thank you, Christina.
Good morning. Christina J. from the state of Washington. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed, became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Joanne L., would you please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous?
Absolutely. Good morning, everybody. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island and recovered in Rhode Island. And thank you so much for allowing me to do service this month. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thanks again, Kathy, for your service. And I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topics. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the direction in the Big Book means to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we begin our resume our study of the Big Book on page 47, the first full paragraph, and I will ask Julie E.B. to get us started. Morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. When therefore we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. This applies too to other spiritual expressions, which you find in this book. Do not let any prejudice you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. At the start, this was all we needed to commence spiritual growth, to effect our first conscious relation with God as we understood him. Afterwards, we found ourselves accepting many things which seemed entirely out of reach. That was growth. But if we wished to grow, we had to begin somewhere. So we used our own conception, however limited it was. Well, thanks so much for the opportunity to share. And I'm so blessed by this community. my conception of God was an idea of grace and love and kindness, but I best understood it as I thought it applied to other people. But when, as I've shared before, when it was my own conception inside, when it was how God was really functioning in my life, the conception was very harsh. And I would speak to myself, and I call it now my lower power voice, and say, you're no good, you're never enough, you're not going to get that, you're not going to be enough. And so this is very powerful for me when it says to commence. The word commence is in the big book over and over and over again. We are always beginning. Yes, I work with sponsees today who feel like they're at the beginning, but I'm at the beginning of the day. I'm at the beginning at 1 o'clock when I get to work. I'm at the beginning, always growing. And for me, a term that came from another 12-step program where it talks about how I'm just a growing, unfolding child of the universe or child of God, that's really been a guide for me. It's a way to see myself, and that way of seeing myself changed how I could have a conscious relation with a higher power. So the two words in here I love, commence, to begin, always beginning. Look for it in the big book. It's there over and over again, even in the 12th step. And conscious, and that is awake. And for me, what this is about is trying to be awake. And the way that I started that in my program was that I was asked to do gratitudes every day. And that was a way to wake up to the way that there might be some good force in the universe that was bringing good things to my life, instead of waking up each day and just reciting to myself all of the problems that I thought that overwhelmed me on a daily basis. So that was my conception. And then I just continued to let it grow and to see how fear, guilt, and anger were choking me off from the sunlight of the Spirit. Work these steps, get a sponsor, and commence. Begin right now. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B., for getting us started. I'd now like to take the names of people who would like to share. And please remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day on this meeting in order that others may get to share their experiences too. Oops. So if you haven't shared Thursday or Wednesday, please feel free to give me your name to share today. Who would like to share?
Penny L.C.
Christina Noel E.
Okay, Penny L.C., Christina J.
Noel E.
Noel E.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Patricia Ann M.
Patricia Ann M. Okay, one more perhaps? Okay, we'll start with that list. Great list. Penny L.C., Christina J., Noel E., Bruce E., and Patricia Ann M. Please get us started, Penny. Press star one, Penny, to unmute.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I just appreciate the openness of the approach in our big book here. Nothing is demanded. Nothing is insisted upon. It's all offered. With strong suggestions, of course, but just so wonderfully open-handed. And here I am told I get to have my own conception of God. That really was pivotal to my recovery. I needed to find a God that worked for me, the God that I knew coming into program was judgmental, was had very high expectations of me in my mind. That's what I thought. And it just did not work. I could not connect to that God. I could not feel close to that God. So being able to come up with my own conception was so freeing and made all the difference in the world to my recovery. But I love that they were given permission to set aside everything we know, that it's okay to be able to make changes to our conception, changes to what we think about having a relationship with a spiritual entity. And we're offered to, you know, just stay open and see what unfolds for each one of us. And it made such a difference in my life. I'm so grateful that I have had that opportunity and that experience to come to know a God of my understanding that I can connect to and I can feel close to and I know is with me always. And it's life-changing, and it's my way to be able to have the freedom from the disease that I have in my mind and in my body. So grateful. Just remembering that I need to come with an open mind, be there with an open, humble heart, and miracles can happen, and they have. And I'm grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Penny LC. Christina J., please share with us.
Good morning again. Good morning, everyone. Christina Jay from the state of Washington as well. So I never had a trouble with a conception of God. In fact, this chapter was something that I just thought, yeah, I got this. Like many have shared, I got this. I understand. I don't have any prejudice against any of the spiritual terms in this book. I loved them. I thought it was fantastic. So what was the problem? You know, I've shared about this a little bit before. There was something that was out of reach for me, that sunlight of the spirit, that spiritual awakening, I had spiritual awareness, but the spiritual awakening, that thing, that final piece that would take me to the shore of recovery, what was I missing? And it started 2 years ago with surrendering my life to all these conceptions, which all these words all mean the same thing to me. To me, all conceptions of God, all paths to God lead to the same place, a good moral character, a love. Love, that's what God is to me. And there's many names. And whatever, I often say, for every man there's a religion. For every man there's a spiritual path, because God has to get to us. Our higher self has to get to each of us individually. And that's why it doesn't matter. And that's why respecting other people's journeys and their paths and what they may call their higher power is crucial. And who are we to judge what God is doing with another? So, and I understand that a lot of people had a horrible God when they were younger. They had God shoved down their throat and all these things they didn't want. But my God was a savior for me since I was a child that I clung to because it was the only sane thing in my life, really. But there was that problem. And what I found, and it talks about it here, the conscious contact with God had to go into every aspect of my life. It seemed out of reach, and yet I had this wonderful connection with God, but it seemed out of reach because I wasn't surrendering my life, and I had to grow. I had to start with the surrender of saying, I don't know where you're going to take me. And today I have to do that because we're kind of planning a move to the east and east coast, and we are scared to death. I mean, it's a long ways, and God keeps telling me, look, stay in today. All you got to do is stay in today. Tomorrow will work itself out. Trust me. and this is what I'm working on. This is how I'm growing. If we wish to grow, we had to begin somewhere. So we begin with that concept. We drop our prejudices. We get quiet. We go and seek inside of ourselves to what relates, what feels good, right, loving, cherishing. That's where you can begin. And surrendering to that and trusting it. And that conception is where you can begin. And every day I get to work that connection. And once you find it, begin to have a relationship with it. Begin to walk with it and trust it. And it will take you to places that you will never believe you'd get to. Each day you change, and you don't even know you're changing until you look back. I'm 8 months in now. I look back. Oh, my God. I'm changing in levels I never even knew. Just from surrendering and accepting that this beautiful power lives within me, in my fellows, all around me, and I can trust it and move forward. And this program will take you there. I encourage you to get on board and get going. Just don't even really worry about it. Just start working the steps, and you'll begin to find it. Thank you for letting me share. Love you all, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Noel E., please share with us.
Hi, this is Noelle E., gratefully recovering from Louisiana. Thank you, everybody, for your service. It's so powerful. I say that every time, but it's always true. This passage today, that word commence is standing out to me, too, because every day is beginning. Like, this is the only thing that's in front of me, is looking to God for these next couple of hours, and perception of God has been a big thing that's been shifting in my recovery. There's days when I think my religious upbringing was a complete lie, and then there's days where I'm like, wow, God was laying the foundation through these stories, and that's exactly like God's will, is for me to constantly be asking him, show me who you are, show me who I am to you. And, one big thing I realized is that, God is not, for me, God is not my mother. God is not someone that keeps score, and it all goes back to love, just that loving embrace. If I follow, his voice to the direction of love, then all those things that made me, those false understandings maybe I had of God, they were still him, but he's using that now as lessons. They were important for me to experience and for me to know, just to strengthen my belief in what I'm understanding now, which is what I understand is that I'll never understand. And isn't that the most beautiful place to be, is to just be like open to wherever I'm being led. I'm living a new way of talking to my children about it too. I never say, when they come home with a story from school, from church or whatever, I never say, that's exactly right. That's exactly how it happened or whatever. I say, wow, is that what you believe? Awesome. Is that what you think God's love is? Awesome. So, So lucky to know that I don't know anything, and God will reveal it all. So thank you, everybody, for your service. I love you.
Thank you, Noel E. Bruce E., please share with us.
Yeah, this is Bruce E., and thank you, everybody on the call. And just remember, I don't know a whole lot about what I'm talking about here. But my sponsor says he doesn't understand God, but he stands under God. And that's about it about me, with me. So up to age 38, 36, 38, I had no conception of a higher power. I didn't care about a higher power. I didn't care what you thought. I didn't want to hear what you thought, especially if it came to religious stuff. And I'm fine with what I got, which was nothing, which was me. All I had was me. And my life was a shipwreck. It was a mess. And never prayed, never believed in anything, and except me. And I had to prove that that didn't work. And so finally, at age 38, had a spiritual experience that was awesome. And so for the next 10 years, I'm just absolutely nutty about food. You know, I'm just can't, you know, I mean, I just can't stop eating. I'm just bags and boxes. That's all it was when I see it. And it says here in the text, afterward, we found ourselves accepting many things, which then seemed entirely out of reach. So coming into OA, 10 years after a spiritual experience, I thought I had all the corner on all the good ideas about God. I thought I knew God, understood God. Came in, and but I was beaten into a place of submission because I found out what I had wasn't working. And I thought, well, I'll work these steps and see what happens. And when I first discovered, I guess it was when I first came into OA. By then, I was 48 years old. I felt sorry for God. This is kind of funny to say this, but I did. I felt sorry for God because I said, God, you know, you got me all a mess of three businesses that went under, a marriage that failed. You got me through all this and that, and out of drugs, alcohol, and now I feel bad for you, God, because you never cured me of the food problem. You did all the other stuff, but you didn't do the food thing. And I kind of felt sorry for God, thinking that his power was limited. But I had a lot to learn, didn't I? So coming into this program, then I spent 25 years in OA using dieting with group support, thinking I knew all about God, and yet still failing in the program. And finally got into Vision. And what I'm finding out is that I don't have to make all these plans and then ask God to bless it. That's what I did for years. You know, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do, you know, I'll do this, I'll do that, and God, will you bless it? Well, that didn't seem to be, that a lot of that didn't work. And basically, it's more like, God, here's the mess. You go ahead and do with it however you wish. I sure need your help on this. And that's about it. My life is a mess. I'm abstinent. I'm recovered. I'm Bruce. I'm in Florida. But my life is still a mess. You know, it still is. And I still go back into
that's
this
kind.
Mess of thinking. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. Patricia Ann M., please share with us.
Thank you. This is Patricia Ann from Florida. I, my own conception of God, I remember going through the steps with the Vision sponsor, and we got to this point about my own conception. And I sat there and I took time to think about what is my conception, mine, not what I was taught, not what people told me. What do I believe, you know? And I thought about it, and it's like, well, I believe in the God of, you know, that created the universe, all the stars and the moon and the trees. I believe that. And as I sat there and pondered on it, all of a sudden it occurred to me that my, now this is my faith, and I'm not going to make an apology, okay, but Jesus prayed to God. And it occurred to me, I'm like, oh, God. God of the universe. Oh, I get it now. And then all of a sudden it occurred to me, why don't you want to turn your life over to him? If he created all this, what's the matter? Why don't you want to turn your life over to him? You know, you trust that, you know, the sun's going to shine tomorrow and the sun's going to set today, you know. And the reason why I didn't want to turn my life over is because I wonder if he does things that I don't want him to do. You know, I wonder if he doesn't do it my way. What if that was, you know, when that occurred to me and I'm like, okay, now my best thinking got me here. And do I really want to trust my own thinking? And the answer is absolutely not. And now I'm like, you know, God, you got this. And of course, I had to get rid of the punishing God, you know, the one that was waiting for me to make a mistake. My God had to be all everything, all powerful, almighty, all forgiving, all loving, and not forget me. You know, I didn't want my God to forget me, you know, and of course, he's not going to. But anyways, yeah, my own conception. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks very much, Patricia Ann. Okay, I'm open for some more names. Who else would like to share today?
Hi, Keita D. from New York.
Okay,
Liz, Catherine B.
I heard Liz. What was your last initial?
A, like apple.
A, okay, Liz A. And Catherine B., was it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Stephanie L. Alex M.
Stephanie L. and Alex M.
Pamela V.
Okay. Pamela may or may not get to you. We'll see how the time goes. Thank you all. Okay. Please get us started.
May I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Thank you. This is Keita D. from New York. Grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. This passage is so timely because I'm right here on step two with my sponsor, and my homework today has to do with my conception of God and any prejudice I have and so forth and so on. And a place where I'm stuck is, you know, I've had a great relationship with the God of my understanding. For most of my adult life, I am a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, and I had a white light spiritual experience at the age of 21, and a salvation experience that really changed my life and opened up so many vistas. And I promised God I would serve Him, and I've never had a boyfriend, I've never been married, I don't have kids. And I just poured my life into service at my church, being a Sunday school teacher, and my job. I'm a elementary, well, now middle school teacher, and I've always worked with underprivileged children and in high poverty, high stress situations. So I just had a lot of joy in serving my God that way. And 4 years ago, I was sexually assaulted at school, and my administration did not believe me, and it was a very traumatic situation, and I could not understand why my God would let that happen to me when all I did was serve Him and love Him and serve others. And so I picked up food in a really intense way, and I gained 120 pounds, and my health went down and so many things. And I said to God, like, just let me die. Clearly, I have served my purpose in this earth, and I've served you to the best of my ability, but I just cannot live like this. But like my best friend says, God don't leave us like that. He brought 12-step recovery into my life, and I started calling into Vision for You on Monday, February 15th of this year. And the very next day, God placed me in a position of neutrality, and I have not eaten alcoholic food since then, which is a complete miracle, as you all know, because all I wanted to do was numb out and escape the pain that I've been carrying the past 4 years. And I just want to thank you all. From the first day I called in, I've received so many calls from you all, and the love, I can't even tell you the love. And I don't have suicidal thoughts anymore. I have an OA sponsor who's working the steps with me. And today is a big day for me because I get to revisit my concept of God. So today, this morning's reading really goes with that. And I just want to thank you all for your love and service. It means the world, and it means my life, actually. Thank you. This is Keita D from New York, and I pass.
Thank you, Peter D. Liz A., please share with us.
This is Liz A. from Michigan. I'm recovering from compulsive eating, bulimia, anorexia, and just really grateful. The sharing resonates with me. I did not want to share this week. I visited some of my family members Wednesday, and I went through trauma when my dad was dying from my family and a lot of gaslighting. I had a concept of God. I came into program with a concept of God. I love that the big book says that I don't apologize to anyone for depending on my creator. Boy, I wanted to apologize for breathing. But anyway, God has carried me through some very, very difficult things. And I went through a phase of being bitter with God and absolutely suicidal. I relate. And my creator he handled the fact that I was bitter toward him. He wasn't shocked. And so what I'm realizing today is that I came in with a concept of God, and God wasn't the problem. My brain is. And so I've had to come to know him daily. And I've started listening to A Vision. Y'all seem so confident, and I'm like, I don't want to share. But, I mean, it's one day at a time for me, and I have this saying, in God's economy, nothing is wasted. So even when I go through horrific times, and and through my dad's death, I didn't pick up which in a way friend said, I don't know how you did it. And that's the truth. I don't know how I did it. It's imperfect. Wednesday got real scrappy with my food, and I'm just like, all right, God, don't let me go there. And I'm just taking care of myself as my higher power directs me. And I just really need you all. Lots of love. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz A., for sharing with us. Catherine B., please share with us.
This is Catherine B. from Minnesota, a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. When I started out, I thought I had a good and solid conception of God. I saw him as loving and powerful, but that he didn't care about my food. I didn't understand why he wasn't healing me. I asked many times to be healed of this disease. I found out in OA as I worked the program that I wanted him to just take the disease away so I could continue to eat what I wanted, when I wanted, but not be fat. And obviously that was incorrect and not helpful at all. I realized I had God in such a small little box, and when others talked about the different ways they thought about God, at first I felt sorry for them. I thought, oh, it's too bad that they have it so wrong. And it was me who had it so wrong, that God is there for everybody. I have really grown, and I am so grateful. I see he does care about all of me, including my food, that he is fully there for me in every way, as he is for other people, and that he is, in fact, doing for me what I could not do for myself. And I'm so thankful for that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Catherine B. Stephanie L., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Southern California. And wow, there's a lot in this paragraph, but there's a couple of things that really stuck out to me this morning. The first one is the last sentence, so we used our conception, however limited it was. And, you know, it reminds me of how my puny human brain really struggles with the concept of like power being a creator of the universe, something so big and so great and so vast and everywhere and around me and with me, and with the power to, you know, do things that I can't even conceive of, because my human brain is limited in, you know, how I see this higher power or my God. And then, you know, the part where it talks about the prejudice that, you know, do not let prejudice you may have against spiritual terms. Well, you know, I've been in this program for a long time. I am almost 60 days out of a relapse where I gained 110 pounds and I was suicidal and I was just waiting to die in this pandemic. Okay, I'm waiting. I'm going to die. And here you go. And so I have prejudice against the higher power who has saved me from this disease over and over again. And, you know, I really had to, like, take a step back and really look at what conscious relation with God is. And I remember my sponsor saying to me, okay, every morning, spend 30 minutes with God. And I'm like, what? I'm going to spend 30 minutes with God? Well, how am I going to connect with a higher power? How am I going to connect with God if I'm not making an effort to be in conscious relation? And I have to say that that was pivotal for me. You know, and it started with me picturing sitting on a park bench and I couldn't even look at God. I couldn't even talk to my God. I just sat there. And then someone said, maybe every day you just get a little closer to today. I have a conversation in those 30 minutes. And then, you know, continuing to look to be in conscious relationship with God throughout the day. Because like any other relationship, if I'm not working on it, then eventually I'm going to find that I don't have the power to stay abstinent and the food's going to seem like a good idea again. So I'm so very grateful today to have a God that I love, who loves me, who doesn't leave me, who is here with me, whether I'm crying, whether I'm laughing, whether I'm sad, whether I'm happy. And, you know, miracles do happen. So stick around. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie L. Alex,
Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Hi, my name is Alex M. I'm calling from New York. And I love this paragraph, and I love, you know, it's already sort of been said, but just this idea in the big book about, you know, I didn't think I had any prejudices, because I was like, well, I don't really have any problem with what other people do, but like, I just kind of am not capable. Like, I don't think I'm capable of believing. And like in the big book where it says like, oh, surely if I could believe as this man does, but I can't. And that was my prejudice, you know, was that I wouldn't be able to, that it wouldn't be accessible for me to have faith. And I will say, like what's been said already, is that the emphasis in the big book is really on an experience. Like they say, like, you know, we may have had certain ideas about God, but now we begin to have an experience of God. And I spent years in the program, like trying to come up with a conception, and people giving me that assignment of like, you know, write a want ad for your higher power. And, you know, what is your conception? And it would always, anytime I tried to apply my intellect to it, I would spiral down, and I just couldn't believe. And I finally had to come to believe that like, I can't have a conception, like I will never really have a conception of God maybe. And that's okay. But I can have an experience of God, you know, in my heart, in my body, in my life, that's separate from like, you know, it's not an idea in my head. I don't have to have any idea. And like has also been said, is that like the only way to have that experience is to spend the time. And I was always like, well, what's not happening? It's not working. I don't feel anything, but I wasn't spending the time. And that's sort of like saying like, well, this relationship's not working with this guy. Like I, you know, without having ever gone on a date, you know what I mean? But just assuming. And so really for me, it's just been the practice of like spending the time, taking the leap of faith, even if I don't think I believe, and getting the results. And, you know, like other people have said, there are areas that I don't want to turn over, because I'm like, well, what if I don't like the result? What if I don't like it? And it kind of reminds me of certain substances in that for abstinence I've had to give up, that I really felt like there was one in particular that I was just like, I'm going to die without this. No. I grieved it. And as soon as I was over the detox, like my life got so much better. And it's always that way in abstinence. And that's my experience of God also. But I have to come to these calls every day to be reminded of that, because otherwise I forget and I get fearful. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Alex M. And Pamela V, you'll be our last share today. Please share with us.
Hi, this is Pamela V, a compulsive overeater in Ohio, and newly started with the program this February. I really appreciate all the calls I've gotten from you all. They've really been encouraging and loving. And I'm on step two now with my sponsor. And I really always thought I had a good relationship with God, but actually when it came down to it, I didn't feel like turning my life over to Him or drawing close to Him, and I couldn't figure out why. And I finally realized that what I actually have is a bully God who cracks down on every mistake I make and has possible expectations of impossible righteousness and impossible performance. And so my sponsor gave me this assignment in the 12 and 12 to ask myself, what do I need from a higher power? What would I like for a power to be and do in my life, on page 13 of the 12 and 12? And so I'm doing that exercise, and I'm trying to be open to an idea that I need a positive relationship with God instead of a negative relationship with God. So I've been trying to write down what it would be like to have a positive relationship with God, who is for me and not against me, and a God who deals with my faults tenderly and not critically, and a God who does not require impossible righteousness. And I'm finding I'm able to let go of that old perception I have, and it's just a whole new world opening up for me about God. So I really appreciate this program. And that I passed.
Thank you, Pamela V, for your share today. Okay, wonderful meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Sherry KB, would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, on page 164 in the Big Book.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.